Bottom of Daf Kufte Zayin Amud Beis. A few lines up for the bottom. We had a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel in the case of Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shavis. How much of a hafshota of the or of the Korban Pesach are you permitted to do? Because you only can do the minimum to violate Shabbos. You don't want to violate Shabbos beyond that which is absolutely critical. So Rabbi Shmuel says that you could only do hafshata up to the chaza, and that's sufficient, and then you just take out the chalovim, whatever has to be taken out, and no more than that would override the Shabbos. Whereas the Chachamim say, and the Gemara bases it on the pasuk of Kol Pol Hashem L'manehu, that you can do the entire hafshata, and anything beyond the chaza also is important for one of two reasons. According to Rav Yosef, Shalo Yasriach, and according to Rava, Shalo Yu Kodshe Shamayim Utolim Binevela, Kinevela. And the Gemara gives two nafkiminis, Ikebe Nayu Demanach Apsora the Dehava, where the carcass was laying on a golden table, and therefore it's not considered Kodshi Shemayim Utolim Kinevela, but you still have a problem of Shalo Yasriach. Inami Yoma Da'astana, on a cool day, there's not so much a problem of Rav Yosef's Yasriach, but we still have a problem of Shalo Kodshi Shemayim Utolim Kinevela. The Gemara goes on and asks, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with the Pasuk Paul Hashem L'manehu? And the Gemara says, Shelo yotzi es haimurim kodem hafshotas ha'or. So he derives from that pasuk, one should not remove the sacrificial parts from the Pesach offering before doing the hafshota. My taima, omer avhuna b'rei d'rav nosa mishum nimin. Because of the strands of hair or wool that would otherwise get caught into the parts that need haktora as they're being drawn out of the body cavity. Omer Rav Chisda, Omer Mar Ukva, Maya Hajule Chavraya L'Rabbi Shmuel Beno Shel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. What argument did the Chachamim, based on our Mishnah here in Shabbos, put forward against Rabbi Shmuel? And the Gemara explains the following. Hachika Amrele, this is what the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Shmuel. Im matzilin tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer. Our Mishnah says that when there's a dleika, you are permitted to save from the fire not only the Sefer Torah itself, but also the receptacle that's holding on to the Sefer Torah. Is therefore lo nafshid es ha-pesach me'oro. You shouldn't allow hafshota all the way even past the chazeh, even be past that point, because after all, if you're doing a mitzvah, then it should be allowed. Like just for the sake of saving the Sefer Torah, we allowed to save the tik as well. So here also, once we're doing the hafshata, we should be allowed to extend the hafshata in order to avoid a situation where the meat might putrefy, or the kodshei shamayim will be left like a nevela. So the Gemara says, "Mi dami." What comparison do the Rabbanan have from our Mishnah? Hasam, in the case of the Mishnah, tiltal. All we're being matir here is just simply tiltal. In other words, you're moving something that is mukta. Why? Because in the tik you also have mos. Okay, so that's not such a terrible violation, and we could allow it for the sake of saving the entire Sefer Torah. But hacha, here in the case of hafshata, melacha, you want to override an iser melacha on Shabbos, that's not comparable to the case of mukta. Omer Rav Ashi, betarte pligi. Rav Ashi says that there's a double machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel. Number one, Pligi b'Tiltul. They have a machlokas about Tiltul. Upligi b'Malach, and they argue about the Malach of Hafshata. V'hachi ka'amar lei, and this is what the Rabbanon was saying to Rabbi Yochanan, to Rabbi Shmuel. Imatzilin tikha sefer imat sefer. If we're permitted to save not only the Sefer Torah, but also the tik, is lo nitaltel or agav basar. In other words, let's put aside the machlokas that we have with regard to the malacha of hafshata. But at least, if you want to talk about the machlokas with regard to tiltul, we certainly have a kal v'chomer that if we could be metaltel the tik, agav the sefer, then certainly we could be metaltel the or, agav the basar. So the Gemara rejects this, and now we're on the top of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Mi domi. It's not a comparable situation. Hasam nase basas l'dover amutar. In the case of the tik, even if we have mos inside the tik, but nevertheless we also have the Sefer Torah inside the tik, and the tik itself was designated for expressly for the sake of the Sefer Torah, and therefore in the laws of Muktzah, when we're saving the tik, we're really saving a basis l'dovra muta. But hacha, here in the case of the Korban Pesach, nase basis l'dovra asur. Why? Because the R is now holding on to the basar. The basar now, it's on Shabbos. We're not going to eat the basar on Shabbos. We have to wait until the night of the 15th of Nisan. That's the mitzvah of Yochel Asar Basar. So right now, he has no purpose in the meat. And therefore, the R is considered a basis, l'dovra asur. Elis Gemara now refurbishes it. Hachi kamerle. This is what the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Shmuel. Im matzilin tik shall sefer ima sefer v'yafal pishiyesh b'socho mos lo netaltil or agav basar. It's not correct to define the tik as a basis l'dovra muta. The tik is really a basis l'dovra asar because it has inside of it mos, which are muktzah. And if nevertheless the Mishnah, for the sake of Hatzalah, permitted even to move a basis, then why not apply that to the case of the R? We should be allowed to move the R for the sake of the basar. Once again, the Gemara says, "Midomi hasam nase basis l'dovra asar u'l'dovra mutar." What's inside this tick? Not only the mos, but also the Sefer Torah. And certainly the Sefer Torah has more chashivas than the mos, so therefore the status of the tik is that of a basis l'dovar ha'osar v'amutar. And if it's a double basis, then we'll go basar the ikar, and the ikar here is the Sefer Torah. But hacha kula nasis basis l'dovar asar. But here in the case of the R is holding on to the R is holding on to the basar, and that's all. The basar, we said, is muktzah. Ella, so again, we still have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what the argument of the Rabbanan was against Rabbi Shmuel. Hachi kamale. This is what the Rabbanan was saying to Rabbi Shmuel. Im mevim tik sheyesh besocho mos me alma lahatzil bo sefer Torah. What would be the din if, in order to save the Sefer Torah, you need to bring a tik? That's the way you're going to carry the Sefer Torah, with some sort of a container. And it happens to be that in this container, there are mos. Now, we're not going to require of you to take out the mos. You know, everything is in a very pressured, urgent situation. We're going to allow you to take out the tik with the mos in order to place the Sefer Torah inside the tik. So you see that even though the tik in this case is a basis l'dovra asur and not a dovra mutar, because there's no Sefer Torah inside the tik, only mos, and yet we're going to permit it for the greater good of saving the Sefer Torah, if that's what we need to do, to take this tick. We're not going to bother removing Moses from the tick. Is therefore lo nitaltel or agav basar, for the greater good of protecting the, those parts of the animal that have not, that are exposed, because you're only allowed to take part of the or, according to Rabbi Shmuel. So certainly we shall allow to do this and carry the entire entity with the or and the meat for the sake of protecting the meat. Vehi gufa minolin. How do you know this point that you're allowed to take another container, a different container, that has money in it, in order to carry the Sefer Torah? How do you know such a thing? Ilema, if you're going to tell me, midehecha de isbe lo shadi lahu, where you have a tick that has inside of it both a Sefer Torah and Mos, we're not going to require of you to get rid of the Mos and then save the tick with the Sefer Torah in it. Is therefore Aisuye Nami Maisinon. So for the same token, we could take another tick if necessary, even if it has Mos, and we're not going to require you to get rid of the Mos. Mi Domi. That's not a fair comparison. Hasam, in the case of the Mishnah, Adahachi Vachi Nafla Dleika, you've got a fire, and you don't want the fire to burn the Sefer Torah. So if I'm going to ask you, you know what, before you take out the tick, put the Sefer Torah on the side, empty out the Mos, then put the Sefer Torah back into the tick, is in such a case, Adahachi Vachi Nafla Dleika, the fire is going to burn the Sefer Torah. But here in the case of a tick that has in it only Mos, and he's carrying the tick in order to bring it to the Sefer Torah, Adahachi Vahachi, while he's carrying the tick to bring it to the Sefer Torah, to put the Sefer Torah inside, Lishdinan, let him throw out the Mos. So you don't have any basis, any proof that you're allowed to take a tick with Mos in order to save a Sefer Torah. Ella, so therefore the Gemara now wants to go back to its original pshat. Omar Mabrav Ashi Li Olam Kidabrinan Meikar. Let's go back to the way that we understood it from the beginning, that Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim have a one-point machlokas. They only argue about the Hafshota. And the Chachamim wanted to bring a proof that you're allowed to do the Hafshota from the fact that you're allowed to bring out the tick which has in it not just the Sefer Torah but also the Mos, and it means that for the ultimate goal of saving the Sefer Torah, which is called Tzarche Gavoa, it's for the divine need, so to speak, we're going to allow you to save your own Mos, which is Tzarche Hejot, your own personal needs. So too in the case of Hafshata, we're going to be allowed to go beyond, say the Rabbanan, beyond the Chazeh, in order to protect the Basar. And that Basar may be your own personal needs, meaning your mitzvah of Achilas HaBasar. It's not for the sake of Kodshim on the Mizbeach. But nevertheless, we allowed you to save your own Mos, because you were doing this for the purpose of Tzarchei Shamayim, to save the Sefer Torah. We're going to allow you to save the Basar because you're doing so for the purpose of the mitzvah of Hafshata, which is certainly Tzarchei Shamayim. Udeko Kashaloch, but we rejected this interpretation because Hacha Tiltul V'Hacha Malacha, in the case that we were Matir Tzarchei Hejot, meaning to save the Mos, that was only a violation of the Malacha of Tiltul. Here, you're going to be Matir Hafshata for the sake of the Basar, and the Basar is considered Tzarch Hejot, that's a Malacha Doraisa. And the Gemara answers, no. The case of the Rabbanan is a case where he's not going to violate a Malacha Doraisa. And now the Gemara has two approaches. The first approach is Kigon de lo kaboile li'or. He has no need for the or. And therefore, when he does the Afshata, that's called the Dover Shein Miskavet. He has no intention to do the Afshata. He's not interested in the R. He's really interested in the Basar itself. And therefore, It is a davar she'einu miskaven. He has no kavana for hafshata. So Gemara says, what do you mean he has no kavana for hafshata? He's actually flaying the skin. Rabbi Shimon, who says davar she'einu miskaven is mutter, that's only if there's no psikresh, if the results are not inevitable. But in this case, by flaying the skin of the carbon of the lamb, he's certainly violating the Isra of Shata. There's no question about it. It's not something that you can vacillate back and forth. So the Gemara gives another approach as to why there's no violation of a Malacha Doraisi in this Hafshata. Deshakale bibarzeh. He takes it off and flays it in thin strips. In other words, normally when you do Hafshata, you do the entire hide in one fell swoop. Here he does it in a very unusual way, which is called shalokidarka, otherwise known as kelachar yad. And by cutting it into strips and taking off each strip of the R individually, he doesn't violate a malacha doraisa. So we can now reduce it down to a level of darabanan. And we're going to say that we're going to, for the sake of tzarchei shamayim, we're also going to allow tzarchei hejot. And we saw that in the paradigmic case of our Mishnah, where the moles were inside the tick, we're going to violate an Isa Durabanan of Mukta, of Tiltul Mukta, even though it's Litzorech Hejot, it's for his personal need of saving the moles. But why? Because ultimately this is going to facilitate saving the Sefer Torah, which is called Tzorech Shamayim. And the Rabbanon, by equation, say the same thing should apply in Afshata. He wants to save the Basar. We're going to allow him to do the entire Afshata. Why? Because the Afshata itself is Litzorchei Shamayim. And even though to save the Basar is called Tzorchei Hejot, but we've already, and there's no Malacha Doraisa here in this particular circumstance of Afshata, therefore the Rabbanon will allow this. Now the Mishnah tells us that for the sake of saving the Sefer Torah, we're going to allow you to take it out of the house when there's a fire and bring it into a mavui, into an alleyway. So the Mishnah says, Lehecha matzino, so where are we going to bring... To where are we going to bring the Sefer Torah when we save it from the Deleika? So we're going to bring it into a Mavli, into an alleyway, correct? Now, let's say a few words about an alleyway. About a mavui. A mavui can fit under one of two categories. One is called a mavui she'enu mafulash, and everybody agrees that that would be mutter in the case of Hatzola. But the more controversial case is called a mavui mafulash. And that's recorded in our Mishnah as a machlokas between the Tanakama and Ben Becerra. So the Gemara wants to know, what is mefulash and what is she'enu mefulash? And for this we'll have to know a little bit about a mavui, and we'll fill in the blanks as we go along. Hechi dami mefulash, hechi dami she'enu mefulash. Amar Rav Chisda, Sholosh mechitzos u'shnei lechayayim zehu mavui she'eno mefulash. You have an alleyway, and the alleyway, which it has many entrances from different sides, allowing the people in the different chatzeros to go into the alleyway. And what do they do? Why are they going through the alleyway? Because the alleyway opens up into Rishus HaRab. Now, if we're talking about a Mavui She'eno Mefulash, then it's not the following. So now we have brackets, put a negative sign on it. It's not a Mavui that opens up on both ends, the top and the bottom, into Rishus HaRabim. That would be Mefulosh. But rather it's Eino Mefulosh, means that on one end it's closed. There's a wall that closed it off. So in effect, the alleyway is structured in a way that he has three mechitzos. It's got one mechitza that separates it at one end. And then he has the two mechitzos that are at a 90 degree angle of that of that wall. And then you spill into a Rishus HaRabim. And the Chachamim say that because this Mavui goes into Rishus HaRabim, we need to close it off on the fourth side. How do we close it off on the fourth side? I mean, after all, we want to allow people to come into the Mavui and go out into Rishus HaRabim. And the answer is, we set up a lechi. Not only one lechi, but two lechis. So a lechi is a vertical column, which we put on one side, let's call it the right side as you enter into this Mavui, and another one on the left side. And when you have these two lechis, we imagine as if they were connected to each other, and that creates a fourth mechitza, which closes off the Mavui completely from the Rishus HaRabim on a halachic level. Again, in reality, it's not closed. You know, the lechi is very, very thin, and you have an open entrance. But halachically, that's the way we do what's called tikkun Mavui. Tikkun means we rectify the Mavui to give it a closure on the fourth side. So that's called a Mavui She'eno Mefulosh. She'eno Mefulosh means it's not open all the way in. It's got a wall on one end, and on the end that enters into Rishus HaRabim that opens it, there it has a lechi on both sides. What's a Mavui Mefulosh? Normally a Mavui Mefulosh would mean that it only has two mechitzos, but in our Mishnah of Rav Chisda says a Mavui Mefulosh means that it wasn't rectified properly, and instead of Shnei Lechayayim, he has only one Lechi. Shalosh Mechitzos V'Lechi Echad Zeh Mavui HaMefulosh. So the Machlokes and our Mishnah between the Tanakama and Ben Becerra is going to be about a Mavui that has three Mechitzos and one Lechi. The Rabbanu will say we never allowed a Mavui without two lechayayim, and therefore this is going to be prohibited. And Ben Becerra says, no, here we're going to be more flexible and relaxed, and we're going to allow one lechi. Vitravayu aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. And both the Tanakama and Ben Becerra accepted the view of Rabbi Eliezer, which is a very unique situation to have a Mishnah based on Rabbi Eliezer ben one Tana, when that opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is a dissenting opinion. Bisnan, we learned in a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is going to give us the dinim of Hechsher Mavui, as we said, how to rectify a Mavui. And it says the following. Okay, this Mishnah is at the very beginning of Masechta Erevin, and it records the following shitas. Beit Shammai Omrim Lechi V'Korah. It's not enough to put a lechi at the entrance to this Mavui, but you also need a beam that goes across on top from one kosel to the other kosel. So you have a double requirement. In order to clearly indicate that this Mavui is being is closed off, you need a lechi and a korah. And that's according to Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim, o lechi, o korah. We don't require both, one or the other. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, shnei lechayayim. You need a lechi here and a lechi there. Both on the entrance into the Mavui. And now it comes out that both Chachomim and Ben Beser in our Mishnah, except Rabbi Eliezer, we need two lechayayim, and therefore the Rabbanon say we must have two lechayayim. Ben Beser lowers it by one notch, and he says, for the sake of Hatzolah b'fnei Adleika, we're going to allow him to take the Sefer Torah from his house into a mavo, even though there's only one lech. Amalei Rabba says to Rav Chisda, Sholosh mechitzos v'lechi echad mefulash karisle. You've got three mechitzos, you've got a lechi, only one, but not two, and therefore you call it mefulash? Is it possible to really say about a mavi that has three mechitzos plus a lechi that it's mefulash? Mefulash means it opens up into Rishus HaRabin. Now, although it's true that Rabbi Eliezer requires two lechayayim, and to rectify the mavui and be matur, it's not sufficient to have one lechi, but nevertheless, it's very difficult to use the term mavui mefulash to describe that kind of a mavui that has three mechitzos. Mefulash means it's open on both ends. The Odin, furthermore, l'rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, if we're talking about a case where there are two lechis, and that's how Rav Chisda interpreted the Rabbanan in that Mishnah, that there were two lechis, if there's two lechis, then you're allowed to carry anything into that mavu. Is natzil l'tocho ochlin u'mashkin? Why does the Mishnah say that we're going to allow taking out a Sefer Torah into such a mavu? You've absolutely rectified the mavu in the most ideal way. You've put a lechi on both sides. We're accepting Rabbi Eliezer. And if that be the case, then why does the Mishnah limit you to Atzolah of Sifrei Torah, according to Rav Chisda's interpretation, and the Rabbanan are holding that there's a lechi mikan, or lechi mikan, then you've perfected this mavui in such a way that you can carry anything in that mavui. Elo Amar Rabba, so Rabba now rejects Rav Chisda and offers an alternative interpretation of our Mishnah. And he says that shtei mechitzos u'shnei lechayayim zeu mavui sheinu mefulash. What the Rabbanan have in mind is a case where this mavui is open on both ends into Rishus HaRabim. Right? You've seen this very often. Even Yerushalayim, you could see this where you have a major street here and a major street here, and in between there's an alleyway that connects the two. That's called a mavui mefulash. And he put a lechi on one end and a lechi on the other end. And shtei mechitzos v'lechi echad zo mavui mefulash. And Ben Becerra took it one step further, and he said, even if you have only two mechitzos, that it's open on both sides to Rishus HaRabim, and you only put up one lechi, that's enough. V'travayu aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And this is all built on Rabbi Yehuda's shita, as we'll soon see, that two mechitzos creates a Rishus HaYochid on a Doraisa level. The Rabbanan required, in addition to the two mechitzos, two extra lechis. The Sanya, we learned in the Braisa, Yeser al Kain Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Mishi Yeshlo Shnei Batim, B'Shnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So we have a highway that splits between two houses, one on this side and one on the other side. And Rabbi Yehuda says, if you want to carry from one house to the other through the highway, then all you need to do is Oso Lechi Mikan V'Lechi Mikan. You need a Lechi on two sides, meaning on, right, so let's say, for example, you leave one house, you'll have, when you come out of the house into the highway, you'll have a lechi on your right side and a lechi on your left side. Oh, alternatively, a korah mikan, a korah mikan. So you'll have one korah on top that takes you from one bias to the other bias, and another korah in the same, and that will go over the Rishus HaRabim, and no siv and no siv b'emtza. And you can actually carry from one house to the other through the Rishus HaRabim. And why is that?
because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that two mechitzos separate an area from Rishus HaRabim and make it into Rishus HaYochid. That's enough on a Doraisa level. But Rabbanan, you need two lechis or two korahs, take your choice. Amru lo, the Chacham reject this. Ein ma'arvin Rishus HaRabim b'kach, meaning that you can't make an Eruv over Rishus HaRabim, and you have two mechitzos. And two mechitzos is not enough. Mechitzos meaning the facade of the both, you know, the outside facade of the two houses. So the Chachamim reject Rabbi Yehuda. They don't accept two mechitzos. They need for Rishus HaYochid three mechitzos. And therefore, if you have Rishus HaRabim, you can't be Mater Rishus HaRabim with a Lechi and a Korah. But let's go back to our Mishnah now. Our Mishnah accepts Rabbi Yehuda that two mechitzos is enough to set up midoraisa a rishus hayochid. Now we have to add a lechi and a lechi, or a korah and a korah. So the Rabbanan, therefore, of Ben Beser in our Mishnah, they say that you need two mechitzos, which you have, and you need two lechis, which you have, and therefore you could take the, for the purpose of Atzola, take the Sefer Torah into that area. And Bebeseris says that, you know what, in this particular case, if you had Shtei Mechitzos and one Lechi, the Rabbanan will look the other way and they'll say, let's rely, the Rabbanan will rely on one Lechi. And there'll be a certain flexibility for the sake of the Sefer Torah. Only Abaye, so Abaye says, wait a minute, Rabbah, your pshat is still vulnerable to the same attack that you attacked against Rav Chisda. Lidiloch nami. Let's ask the same question. L'Rabbanan natzi l'tocho ochlen u'mashkin. If Rabbanan hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and when you have two mechitzas, all you need is two lechis, and that's the case in our mission of a mavui chayin and mefulash, then why are you telling me that in the case of Dleika, he's only allowed to save the Sefer Torah, he should be allowed to save ochlen u'mashkin as well? And here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Amid Beis, Ela Amar of Ashi, Shalosh Mechitos V'lechi Echad Zemavu Yishen Mefulosh. We're talking about a case where we have three mechitos, and one end of the mavui is closed off by a wall, and that's called a mavui She'en Mefulosh. He also adds one lechi. And if he has a mavi of shalosh mechitzos below lechi, and he didn't add a lechi, that's called a mavui mefulosh. So both Rabbanan and Ben Beser agree to Rabbi Eliezer. As far as hechsher to tikkun mavui is concerned, you need two lechayayims. And the Rabbanan hold afilu l'Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar be'inon shnei l'chayayim, hani mili li'ochlin u'mashkin, aval l'sefet Torah b'chad lechi sagi. So in the case where the Rabbanan allow you to take the Sefer Torah to a mavui that has three mechitzos and one lechi, that's called a mavui shei mefulosh, we're going to relax the din, we're going to diminish or subtract the requirement of two lechis down to one lechi, and that's for the sake of saving a Sefer Torah. You want to save Oklin U'mashkin, you're going to require a second lechi, and that's Rabbi Eliezer. Now we have Ben Becerra, and Ben Becerra is of the opinion that if you have even a Mavi Mefulosh, which means you have three mechitzos and you have no lechis whatsoever, and then we're going to allow it, so that the Rabbanan are going to reduce the requirement and lower it from two lechis to one lechi, whereas Ben Becerra is going to go even a step further and he's going to say that you don't even need one lechi. That's the sheet of Ben Becerra. And now we're up to the new Mishnah. Now, until now, we learned the Mishnah about Matzilin Sefer and a tick. Now we want to know, what's the law as far as saving Ochlin U'mashkin, about saving food? So the Mishnah says, Matzilin Mazon Sholosh Seudos. We're going to allow you to save maximum three Seudos worth. And that's because you need them for Suda Shabbos. And if it's food, Haroi li'odom li'odom, Haroi li'behema li'behema. So certain food is fit for animal consumption, you're allowed to save that for the animals. Ketzad. Nafla d'leka b'lele Shabbos. So he's already eaten his first of the three meals. He hasn't yet eaten his first meal, and the fire broke out before the first meal. Matzil mazon shalosh sudos. The shachris, he's already eaten his first meal, and now it's in the morning, is matzilin mazon shtei sudos. The mincha, he's already eaten two out of three of the sudos, matzilin mazon seuda achas. Rabbi Yossi omer li ola matzilin mazon shalosh seudos. Rabbi Yossi says that once they established in one situation, namely he hasn't eaten any sudo, that you're allowed to save three sudos, then that's going to be the hardcore rule, absolute, for all situations. And I couldn't care less how many of your sudos you've eaten. They established that for the sake of Hatzolah, you're allowed to take out three sudos under all circumstances. So the Gemara asks the following question. Michti Behetera Katarach Natil Tfe? I don't understand, says the Gemara. Why are you limiting him to three seudos? He's only allowed to save three seudos. What are you nervous about? I mean, what Iser is he violating here? It's a mavui with a tikkun. It's not mukta, it's foodstuff. So what would be the Iser here that would prevent you from saving all the food that you could possibly save? Omar Rava, mitok shadam bol al mamona, ishar slay osi lichabuye. We have to put this man into a straitjacket so that he won't violate meleches kibui. A man is bahul, he's completely overwhelmed. He doesn't have his wits about him. If you tell him carte blanche, save whatever you can. You know, empty out this fridge and that freezer, and he's going to go on and on and on. Ultimately, because he's so involved in saving, he might inadvertently forget that it's Shabbos and put out the fire. He's not thinking with working with a full deck, as we say. But if we restrict him and we say, you know what, go into the house and save X, Y, and Z. You know, one suda, two sudas, and three sudas. Now he realizes that he's not allowed to do much Hatzolah. He's got to be very, very limited and restricted in his Hatzolah efforts.
Rabbi Berzon.
Yes?
Is there any inyan with respect to Rabbi Yossi that there's preparation for Shabbos to chol by saving more than you need for Shabbos?
I would say not exactly preparation, I would call it tircha yisera. And I think your objection to Rav Yossi is a very logical one. That's probably why the Rabbanon never accepted it. They want to limit the amount of tircha that you do on Shabbos. Imagine every time you go in and out of the house, and then the Gemara is going to later on have a whole debate what happens if he could take more than Muslim Shalosh Sudas in one basket so he doesn't have to go in and out. Right, so the Rabbanan are very limited in your tircha. They don't want you to spend all of Shabbos going in and out of your house saving things. And that's a question on Rabbi Yossi. Why Rabbi Yossi is not objecting. I'll just read to you, since you asked the footnote here. He says, Kevon she Shabbos zel yom she ochlen bo sholosh sudos about solas Ha'ochlin eino ose isur, v'arei ha'ochlin mutar betiltul, v'matzila l'mokum shemutal atzila misham below d'leka, t'ayin l'chotzim u'reves, is therefore mutar af lahatzil yoser misholosh se'udos, el mishum gzera osruzos, l'kach af shekvar ochal, sover rab yosi shemutal lahatzil sholosh se'udos. That's a summary of Rashi. And Rashi interprets Rabbi Yossi as saying that since they allowed you to, you know, not to save everything, because then Adam Bol al Mamono, and they restricted you, but there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to take, under all circumstances, Shalosh Seudos. So the cap, the maximum that he could take, according to Rabbi Yossi, is Shalosh Seudos, just that once they were Matir Shalosh Seudos, and they said that there's no issue of Adam Bol Amamono, he's already got his mental, you know, his head is screwed on right, and he knows that he can't put out the fire, he's got to do a quick Hatzola effort, then let him take out 3 Seudos. We don't have to go into details, oh, did he eat this Seuda, that Seuda? All right. We have a brice that says Nishbrolo Chavis. Here's another case of Atzola, where a barrel of wine broke and it's Shabbos. What is he allowed to do to save the wine? And it's Barosh Hagag. The Chavis is on a high level. He's allowed to maybe kli. He's allowed to bring a utensil, Menicha Tachteo, and place it underneath the flowing wine, ubilvad shelo yovi kli acher v'yiklot. He's not allowed to bring a second kli to pick up the, you know, the stream of wine that's falling down. He's allowed to take one kli and put it next to the wine that broke the barrel, so that the wine sort of spills right into that second kli. So that's called Kliacher V'Yitzarev. But he's not allowed to take a second Kli. So Hasa Maik Zera Ika. You know, what are you afraid of in that case? I understand, Rava, you made a good argument that in the case of a Dleika, of a fire, we have to limit because we're afraid he might come to Kibui and put out the fire. What are you afraid of in this case? Hasa Maik Zera Ika. Why would you limit him in how much effort he could put in to saving the wine that's spilling out of his barrel? So the Gemara answers, Hasam gzera shem yavi kli derech rishus harabim. If you tell him the sky's the limit, just bring one kli after the other until you finally save all the wine that's spilling, he's going to forget himself. He's going to go out to, you know, rishus harabim somewhere, you know, to go across the road and get more kelim. And it'll violate the Shabbos. So once again, we have to restrict him. One kli and one kli only. Gufa. Nishbro, let's go back to this price. Nishbro lo chavis. Birosh gago mevi kli. Omediach tachteo bilvad shlo yovi kli achri v'yiklo kli achri v'yitzarev. So we're only going to allow him to bring one keli. Nizdame lo orchim. But what happens if he has guests? And now he wants to get more wine and save more wine for the guests. Is then we have a special dispensation, maybe Kliacher Vakolet, Kliacher Mitzaref, we're going to allow him to take another Kli. And that's for the sake of the Orchim, so they can feed them the wine that's now spilling. And it's going Li'ibud, it's going down to the floor. We're going to allow him to bring another Keli to collect the wine. However, the Brisa says let's not play any games over here. What do I mean? Lo yiklot v'achach yasmin orchim. Yeah, he's going to bring other kelim, then he's going to invite guests, and he's going to tell you that the reason why I was allowed to take a second kli is because I have guests. I mean, that's not true. He invited guests after he, you know, they weren't guests. Eli yasmin, he's allowed to run around the neighborhood, start inviting guests over, and then go back and add the second kli for Hatzola. V'ein marimim b'kach. And he's not allowed to fake us out and say, well, you know, I'm going to invite more guests, and then, you know, and he never invited the guests, or he knew that they weren't coming. This has to be real. So that, for example, if he would invite a guest that doesn't drink wine, that wouldn't cut the mustard. But Mishum Rav Yossi, Rav Yudam Rumarimim, Rav Yossi went as far as saying that you can invite guests that don't need to drink wine, and they're not going to drink wine, and that's going to allow you to bring a second keli. In other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, once you made this effort, and you realize that there's not a carte blanche, that you're allowed to bring kalim from here, there, and elsewhere, unlimited number of kalim, but we're going to allow you to bring a second keli and restrict your use, he's going to remember that he's not running around and bringing a keli from Rishus HaRabim, and he made the effort of inviting guests. And it's really Arama, because he doesn't need the wine for the guests. Is lema beplugta de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua komiflugi. This machlokes in the Tanakhama Rabbi Yossi is really an ancient machlokes about haroma between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Desanya also viespino. If let's say you're not allowed to shecht the parent animal and the child animal on the same day, and naflu bar on yontif, the two animals, mother and child, fell into a bar. Is Rabbi Eliezer Omer Males Harishon Almanas L'Shochto? Right, it's on Yontiv, you're allowed to shecht an animal. Vasheni Oselo Parnosa Bimkomo B'Shvil Shel Yomos. As far as the other animal, we can't allow you to take it up because you've already got the animal that you need to shechita. You don't need the second animal. So the best you can hope to do is bring food into the bar and hope that the animal will eat the food and survive until after Yontif, and then you'll haul up the animal from the bar. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Malin is Harishon Almanas L'Shochto. He's allowed to take up one animal from the bar, haul it up, and say, I'm going to shecht it. V'yeno shochto. But in truth, he had no intention of shechting it. Umarim, and then he does this harama, this subterfuge, and he says, Malas Hasheni, now then I'm not shechting the first one, maybe I'll shech the second one. At the end of the day, Ratzah Zeshochet, Ratzah Zeshochet. So we see that the Tanoim already had a machlokes with regard to this issue of harama. And therefore, our issue about whether or not he can invite guests that aren't going to drink the wine, and he knows very well, and do that as a fig leaf in order to allow him to be matzil mo yayin in a second kli, that issue, which is a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, is in effect a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So where says mimai? No. To make those two machlokas in analogous is unfair. Why? Dilma adkan lo kam Rabbi Eliezer hasam. Why was Rabbi Eliezer very strict? And he wasn't going to allow you to haul the second animal up from the bottom of the bar. The Efshel Parnasa. He was relying on the fact that the animal would survive because we're going to feed the animal inside the bar. Aval Hacha Delo Efshel. But here, if you don't allow him to take a second kli, the wine is completely gone. And for the sake of the wine, that's going to be a tremendous loss for him. We're going to allow Harama. And even Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't allow Harama in the case of the animal down in the bar, would allow Harama with regard to a second kli to save the ayin. The ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yeshua hasam. Why does Rabbi Yeshua have a flexible possibility of Harama in the case of the animal? To ikar tzar balichaim, to let the animal remain in the bar for the next 24 hours. Or if it's chutzlar, it's for 48 hours. That's tzar bali chayim. So here we have to be more flexible for the sake of the animal. Aval hocha, the leka tzar bali chayim, here you're only going to suffer a loss in the inanimate object of wine. Lo. Tana rabbanon, hitzil pas nikia, ein matzil pas hadra'a. If he's already saved a very fine flour of bread, then he's not allowed to take an inferior flour, which is called a pashen in a key, otherwise known as a pas hadra, because you can't tell me that he's going to eat this pas hadra when he already saved a pas nikia. But on the other hand, pas hadra, if he saved a second rate, a barley bread, whatever it might be, is then matzil pasnikir. We're going to allow him to go back and save from the Dleika a superior quality bread. Matzila miyom HaKippurim, if Yom Kippur falls on a Friday, you're allowed to do Hatzolah for Shabbos, because Shabbos is a higher level of Kedusha than Yom Kippur. Lo mi Shabbos liyom HaKippurim. If Yom Kippur is on a Sunday, you're not allowed to save from the Dleika food on Yom Kippur for the sake of, I'm sorry, on Shabbos for the sake of Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is going down a madrig. The Ein Tzarech Lomar, it goes without saying, that Ein Matzilin Mishabbos LiYontif, to save something from Shabbos for Yontif, that's again going down a madriga. Velo, even, not even Mishabbos LiShabbos Habba. We're not even going to allow you to save, once you've saved the Shalosh Sudas for this Shabbos, you have no heter to go back into the house and save things for next Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan, Shachach Pas B'Tanur V'Kiddush Olav Hayom, he left his dough in the oven on Erev Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos, is Matzilin Mazon Shalosh Seudos. He's allowed to save from the oven. Normally, we would not allow him to go in there and do what's called Rediyas HaPas, as we'll soon see. But in this case, for the sake of Mazon Shalosh Seudos of Shabbos, we're going to allow it. The Omer Lachei Rebo Vatzilu Lachem, he's allowed to invite others who also need Shalosh Seudos, and he's going to allow them, invite them to go into the oven and take out what they need. Uksharoda, but when he does the Rediyas HaPas, which is called a Chachma, there's a special kli and a special profession and training to know how to take a dough out of the oven. Lo Yirde Mamarde El Besakin, instead of using that utensil that is dedicated for that, he should do with a shinui, an unusual way, and he should do with a knife. Eighty. The Gemara asks for a tana to be Rabbi Yishmael lo tasekol malacha yotza tkiya shofar rediyas hapas shi chachma v'yena malacha. So we have a statement of Rabbi Yishmael to the effect that rediyas hapas, taking a bread out of the oven, is not a malacha. It's a chachma. It's wisdom, but it's not a malacha. So why do you try to do it with a shinui and require that? That makes sense if it was a malacha, but it's not a malacha. And the Gemara answers, Kama di efshel shnuyeh mishanina, to the extent to which, since he's getting all involved here, sweat and toil, you know, to do this chachma called Rediyas HaPas, we would like to remind him that Rediyas HaPas is not something that we normally would allow. It's a shvus. And here we're going to allow it for the sake of Hatzolah, for Shalosh Sudos, but you have to do it with a shinui. Omer Rav Chisda, Liolam Yashkim Adam, on Friday he should get up early, Lotzah Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos, do his Tircha. Shenemar V'hoya Bayom HaShishi V'Echinu Es Asher Yaviu, that on Friday they did a Hachana, they prepared the man, and we alter, apparently they did it immediately. And the Pasuk says, Vayilkitu also baboker baboker. So it was early in the morning when they did the Lakita to collect the man. And in Hachanas Shabbos also, we should get up early and start on Friday with our preparations for Shabbos. Om Rabbi Abba, b'Shabbos chayiv odom livtzol shtei kikros. This is the famous Gemara of Lechem Mishnah. And dechsiv v'hoyu b'yom hashini liktu Lechem Mishnah. So our Lechem Mishnah today is a replacement for the Shtei Kikros of Lechem Mishnah of Man that fell on Friday for Shabbos. Omer Rav Ashi, Chazina Leila, Rav Kahana, Dinoka Tarte Ubotza Chada. I saw that Rav Kahana would take two Kikros, but he would only cut into one of them, so he'd grab two of them in his hands, and then he would drop one of them and cut one of them. Omar, so Rav Kahana declared, Luktu Lechem Mishnah, Ksiv. In other words, only the Lakita, the collecting of the man, where they had it in his hands, that they had Lechem Mishnah. But once I hold the two Lechem in my hands, I've already been Mekayim the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah Zecher Leman, and now I'm going to drop one of the two and cut the other one. Rabbi Zera Vabotza Kula Sherusa. However, Rav Zera, when he cut the bread, he would cut the bread so that he have a large enough piece to last him for the entire meal. Normally, that's called gluttonous. Normally, Ravina or Rav Ashi, V'michzei kirav tanuta, he looks like a gluttonous person, you know, that he cut such a large piece. Amalei, so Rav Zeira defended himself, he said, Keva dechol yoma, every day of the week I wouldn't do such a thing, for I didn't, but on Shabbos I do to Kovid, lo michzei kirav tanuta. In other words, this is part of Kovid Shabbos, that I've cut a large enough piece that'll last for the whole Suda. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi ki mikla luhu rivta t'yeruva. If let's say there was an area that had many different courtyards, so they had to make what's called an Erev Chatzeros, and they would leave the pass of the Erev in the hands of one of them. And if Rav Ami and Rav Asi happened to be on that particular Shabbos, they were the lucky ones, they got the pass. Then Sharu Iluye, in other words, they would begin their Suda and make the Bracha of Avotzi Lechem Menorah Tzedakah on that pass of the Eruv. And why is that so? Amri, they used to declare, Hoil vis avid bo chada mitzvah, vis avid bo mitzvah chrita. It's like, you know, people who take the lulav and they save it from Sukkot to burn it, you know, for a fire for the chametz, beer chametz. You know, once you did a mitzvah with the object, you want to do another mitzvah with the object. And since the mitzvah of Erev was fulfilled with this object, with this pas, now we're going to use this pas for the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. Ketzad nafla d'leika. So if there's a fire on Friday night, then he saves 3 Sudas. If it's on Shabbos morning, 2 Sudas. Tana Rabbanan kama Sudas chayev odom lechol v'Shabbos. How many Sudas are a minimum requirement on Shabbos? Shalosh, according to the first opinion of the Tanakhama, all you need is 3 sudos. But Rabbi Chidka Omer, arba sudos, we need to eat 4 sudos on Shabbos. So instead of shalosh sudos, we'll have to eat also revius, you know, the suda revius. Rabbi Yochanan, shnei mikra echad dar, the machlokas, Tanakhama, Rabbi Chidka, revolves around how do we interpret one particular passage. And it says in the parasha of Man, "Vayomer Moshe ichlu hayom." Now watch the word hayom. Ki Shabbos hayom, hayom lo timtzu besod. 3 times it says hayom, and therefore we require 3 sudos. Rabbi Chidka Sovar, hani tlosa hayom lebar miurta. The 3 times that it says hayom in the pasuk, those are superfluous. And with regard to each one of them, it says ichlu, right? Ichlu hayom, and ichlu hayom, ichlu. So all 3 times that it says hayom, it goes back on the word ichlu. Lebar miurta. So that's teaching the 3 sudos on Shabbos itself, on the day of Shabbos, right? No, as they collected the man for the day of Shabbos. But there was also a Suda that they ate on Leil Shabbos. And that's not included in the 3 Hayoms. So in addition to the 3 Hayoms that generate 3 Sudas, we have the Sudas Laila, and that generates a 4th Suda. Rabbanan Savri Bahari Diurta. That when it says 3 times Hayom, which are mentioned 3 times in the pasuk, it includes all the sudos that he has to eat on Shabbos, even the suda of Leil Shabbos. So the question is whether the Hayom includes even the suda that we eat on Friday night. So we ran out of time. I'll just read the next braisa, and that's where we'll stop. Tanu, Tnan, it says in our Mishnah, Naftal Dleika B'Leil Shabbos. Here we're going to turn to Kuf Yud Ches, which we'll study in Mitzvah tomorrow. Matzilin Mazon Shalosh Seudos. My love, de lo ocha. Doesn't it mean that he hasn't yet eaten his Sudas Leil Shabbos? And we're going to allow him to save Mazon of Shalosh Seudos, because he's only chayav to eat 3 Sudos. So we see that that Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Rabbanon, and it's against Rabbi Chidka. Because according to Rabbi Chidka, we should be allowing him to save 4 Sudos. Lo. When it says on Friday night that he saves Mazon Shalosh Sudos, the Achal, he's already eaten his Friday night meal. And therefore, all he has left is 3 Sudas of Shabbos, and therefore we're going to allow him to save only 3 Sudas. Okay then, so Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, Kuf Yud Ches.